Welcome into the Wizards group chat. I'm your host, Ryan Oliver, alongside my man, Chase Carroll. Chase, game one's in the books. It kind of went how I expected. Wizards taking a loss to the Pacers in game one, 143-120 in a really high-scoring game. The Wizards, they had a lot going on. There was a lot of not so good, maybe a few positive takeaways. Chase, I'm just going to give you the floor. We're here to do our first post-game reaction pod. This is kind of some instant analysis here. I'll give you the floor. Tell me your thoughts.
I'll start with the good news. The good news is basketball is back. Wizards basketball is back. That's the great news. More great news is it looks like we're going to have a really awesome draft pick this year. So that's good news. But in reality, it's going to be like this for a lot of the year. I think we all know that. I think we all expect that. I would like to see more of the young guys if we're going to lose like this. And the center rotation is exactly what we think it is and what we've said all offseason now. We've repeatedly said that Gafford is not going to be able to play 28 minutes a night, and it's looking like we're spot on with that assessment one game in. It doesn't look like the foul trouble issue that has plagued him throughout his career is going to magically fix over one offseason, because four fouls in the first half tonight, just zero real regard for his own foul trouble, it seems, year after year. Just kind of blatantly going for blocks that maybe sometimes he should just pull back on. He has not seemed to figure that out, and that's going to be a real concern this year. I'm kind of going all over the place right now with my thoughts, but it's going to be a long season. The center rotation's looking rough, and we got a lot of young guys that we're playing. So it's going to be a fun year watching young guys play, and hopefully we can build off something better than this, because zero defense was played tonight, unfortunately.
I would say this went just about what I would have expected. I felt like it would be competitive for a portion of the game, and then the superior team which was the Pacers, would kind of just take over. And I think the real turning point in the game in terms of momentum to me was when Buddy Hield came in the game and he kind of hit a couple threes, and you could kind of immediately see the pace pick up for the Pacers a little bit, and they started getting out in transition a little bit more. And Buddy spacing the floor, hitting those threes. And the Wizards were slow on their rotations and things of that nature. And then I think that's when things really kind of started to hit off the rails, even though the game was, the Wizards were still winning at that point in the game when Buddy Hield first came in. But I think, you know, at one point they were up at least 8 points kind of early on, and I felt like the Wizards had the momentum. I thought Tyus Jones was being pretty aggressive. I felt like Poole and Kuzma were kind of picking their spots, trying to let everyone else get kind of acclimated. I thought we saw some good signs early on from Gallinari offensively. He looked pretty good, spacing the floor, knocking down some shots. Like I said, I was impressed. I thought Tyus in the first quarter and a half looked better than at any point in the preseason, which, again, it's preseason, so he probably wasn't going that hard, and he was, you know, going hard, obviously, in the real game. So I was happy with how Tyus played, especially early on. So that's a positive. But the issues that are there that we knew about, which were the center position and defense, as you mentioned, Chase, just reared their ugly head. There's no answer for Tyrese Halliburton, which I noted on the last pod that I felt like that was going to be a large reason why I was predicting them to lose by at least 15 points, was they just don't have any point of attack defender that's playing in left minutes. Like, DeLon Wright can play defense, right? So if he started, maybe he would be a solid guy to throw on Halliburton. But Halliburton's going to get his regardless, right? Like, he's that good of a player. He's probably a top 20 player at this point. He's definitely an all-star. So he's that type of player that's going to get his. But I felt like what is so good about a player like Halliburton is he just sets the table so nicely for everybody that Buddy Hield and Bruce Brown, I mean, they're just knocking down threes left and right because they're just – the defense is Swiss cheese, and Halliburton's just slicing and dicing, the Wizards up. So you just saw their confidence grow. Bruce Brown had at least like 5 or 6 threes, and then Buddy Hield had to have at least had 3 or 4. I don't even know the exact number, but he was just shooting, and they were all open too. It wasn't like these were contested shots. These are wide open corner threes, wide open threes on the during a fast break. And you have guys like Gallinari who just can't defend anymore. I mean, he never was a great defender, but he's just really slow footed out there. Tyus is small, Poole small, and they're not great defenders. So these issues that we've been talking about all summer that we knew were going to be issues, hey, look, they're issues, right? Like that's kind of, it's kind of obvious. So, and to your Gafford point, man, Gafford just is what he is at this point. And I feel like I like Gafford, but he's being put in a position where it's never going to be what we want it to be as Wizards fans. I personally think where he's never going to be able to play 30 minutes a night. We're talking about night one. He's in the game with like a minute and a half left in the second quarter, and he has 3 fouls. And he can't help himself but get himself out of position on when Indiana's on a fast break. And he did get nudged by, I think it was Miles Turner in the back. So he got nudged. He fouled whoever he fouled and then got his 4th foul. But I'm thinking in my head, if you know Gafford's our only like a real center option, I guess, besides Muscala, why do you have him in at that point in the quarter or that point in the first half, knowing that he can't help himself but foul? Like, I just thought that was an error by Coach Unseld. I didn't like that he kept Gafford in at that point, just knowing that Gafford fouls a lot. I mean, that's just what he does. So I thought overall it was about what I expected. I feel like we're having a lot of games like this where the team is competitive early on. They look pretty good. And then when the other team decides, hey, do you guys really want to play hard? Like, let's just knock these guys out. And they kind of crank it up a notch. The Wizards aren't going to have that next level to go to keep the games competitive. So I think we're going to have a lot of games like this where it starts off pretty competitive, and then by the mid third quarter, the other team pulls away.
Yeah, I'm with you on all of that, absolutely. And I think we all knew this was going to be the case for most of the year. Just looking at the backcourt, you see Tyus Jones and Jordan Poole there in the starting backcourt, and they're not going to defend anybody this year, really. We all know that. We're going to have to try to outscore each team every night, and it's going to be nights where Poole – kind of like tonight, doesn't have it, and he's not going to be able to outscore the guy that he's guarding. Like tonight, Halliburton put up, 30 points tonight, I believe. 20 points, 11 assists. Like, he was just doing whatever he wanted out there tonight. And really, that was for the entire backcourt. No one was defending tonight. Corey Kispert coming off the bench, he is no resistance to anybody. And it's unfortunate we don't really have too many options out there to defend, but I will say Bilal Coulibaly, we didn't get to see much of him tonight, but from what we did see, we saw the defense we've been raving about all year. So I'd love to see him get more minutes immediately, because it's clear, I think already, he's going to be the team's best defender from that wing position. They need as many great defenders out there as they can possibly throw out there, because it's clear putting up 120 points and you're not even close to winning the game, you're not going to be able to outscore teams in this league like that. So I hope Bilal starts getting 30 minutes a night. It's clear he's not quite there yet offensively, but he's clearly there on the defensive end already. 3 blocks tonight in a very small, limited role. And he was making his presence felt. One of the only people on the court tonight who actually did. So I need to see more minutes out of him from Wes Unseld Jr. Early start, clearly it's going to be a long season, 82 games. So I'm not going to base everything off one night, but I need to see more minutes for him.
Yeah, I agree with you. Let's talk a little bit about about that Koulibaly obviously didn't start. Denny started. What were your thoughts on that aspect? I thought Denny played pretty well. He kind of is in a role now where you can see him do a little bit of everything. Like he had some on ball opportunities in terms of setting up others. He got out, you know, got kind of grabbed and go off rebounds and ran the break. He's obviously a pretty good rebounder. So we saw kind of a mix of things. He had, he shot 4 of 8, had 9 points, 5 assists, 7 rebounds, a steal in 21 minutes. I thought early on he played pretty well, maybe faded a little as the game went on. What were your impressions of Denny, and what did you think about him starting over Bilal?
I wasn't surprised by it. I definitely think Wes Unseld Jr. is going to trust the guy that's been around for a couple of years with him. Just signed to a contract extension. It's clear he's part of the future here as well, but I think he would be better suited off the bench personally, with Bilal just taking the defense immediately. I don't think Wes Unseld Jr. quite trusts him 100% yet, and I don't blame him for that. He is a 19-year-old who's fresh in the league, first game. To have him start at 19, that's a big thing to ask, but I thought he was ready for it based off of his preseason, based off of his summer league. So I would have liked to see it and see Denny get more of a lead role off the bench, getting more touches with that second unit, you know, running in transition with the ball more in his hands with that second unit. But that's just not how it's going to go early this season. And I'm not surprised by it, but I do wish we would have gone differently, because I do think Denny can have a bigger role for himself. You know, he can play the amount of minutes that a starter does. I think there's plenty of minutes there for Denny off the bench, but I just think it makes more sense to have Bilal starting. And I know they need rebounding, which Denny is definitely going to provide. They need that also with a second unit, though, because when Gafford comes out, he's already not known to be the best defensive rebounder, but he's going to foul pretty quickly. You need a good rebounding presence on that second unit as well. So I think Bilal can provide that too. He just needs more minutes. I need to see more time for him on the court.
Yeah, I agree. I want to see more time for Denny on the court. And I don't know if it's what it is exactly, in terms of why. I don't know if it's Wes's rotation, I guess is what I'm trying to say, in terms of just staggering the minutes so Denny can. He can start if they want to start him or not. But why can't, like he started tonight, why can't he get more minutes with the bench unit in terms, like there was a unit they had out there where it was 4 bench players and Tyus Jones. And I felt like they couldn't get a bucket because they don't really have anyone that, I mean, aside from Tyus, that can create any offense. And I'm not saying that Denny is some great offensive creator, but I just felt like, why not just have Tyus and Denny out there together, and that would give 2 people that can kind of run the offense. I forget who was out there, but it with Tyus, but it wasn't Denny, and he was the only starter. And I thought, this is just a weird lineup. Like, this lineup isn't going to be able to score. So you need to have someone else that can run the offense or facilitate some type of offense, or at least kind of set up others other than just Tyus. I'm underwhelmed with Coach Unseld just consistently. And I know it's just game one, and I don't even think this is on him necessarily that they lost by so much. I just think they're not that talented. So there's going to be losses like this, regardless of what he does. So I don't even want to say, oh, it's him. But to me, he doesn't maximize what he has. I feel like it's just, I'm always kind of left wondering, like, why did he do this or why did he do that? And I don't like to feel like that when I'm watching the game, because I'm not a coach. I don't know everything, and I'm not even going to act like I do. But some of the things that you see as just a casual viewer of the team that don't make sense, and then you just kind of see them consistently, I just kind of already reverted back to that. Some of those frustrations I had last season, or I guess since Coach Unseld's been here, where I felt like I'm questioning some of the rotations and like leaving Gafford in when he's in foul trouble and he's your only real real center. I mean, Muscala only played 8 minutes tonight. We saw Gallo playing center, which is, I thought, was okay against the Pacers because he was going up against Jalen Smith, who is, you know, he's a big body, but he's not like a daunting physical presence, I would say. So I feel like, and he plays kind of more on the perimeter at times. So I wasn't mad at that, considering the options at center. But I just feel like the front office also has done a disservice to Coach Unseld in not addressing the big man situation in a better capacity, because that makes him feel like he has to leave in Gafford in that situation where he has three fouls and it's almost halftime, when if he had just another big body that could be a rim protector, maybe he wouldn't feel like that, that he had to leave Gafford in. And Gafford's just another underwhelming presence in terms of what we want from him. We want to see development in terms of kind of his defensive discipline and not just chasing block shots and kind of being in the right spots more. And I just feel like he's constantly a bit underwhelming in that regard. How did you feel about Gafford's performance overall?
Yeah, I'm with you there. He's always good for a couple putback dunks. He's always good for a couple nice rim runs and some block shots, but he's a little too aggressive going for that block shot, and it costs him by getting himself into early foul trouble, and then he has to limit how he defends from then on, and he becomes a less useful defender throughout the rest of the game because he has to play knowing that the next foul is my fifth and I'm going to be pulled for the rest of the game. So it's frustrating from that standpoint, but and I do feel a little bit for Wes Unseld Jr. given the roster he's been given here, but at the same time, this is now going into year three and he's supposed to be a defensive minded coach, and we've yet to see that in the first two seasons. And again, I do fully understand he doesn't have the best personnel, but we're in year three now, and game one led up 143 points and they had their backups in halfway through the fourth quarter. It's definitely concerning. I'd like to see that improve at some point in the Wes Unseld Jr. tenure, if this is what he's supposed to be known for. When does that start to kick in? Because I understand, I fully understand Corey Kispert, Jordan Poole, and Tyus Jones backcourt is not ideal for you defensively, but there's got to be some way that you counteract that, whether it be longer possessions on offense or I don't know what it is, but Wes Unseld Jr. has to figure out what it is.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I feel like I could go on and on about Coach Unseld and some of my feelings on that, but I feel like at this point people know where I stand, so I won't beat a dead horse. Let's talk a little bit about our impressions of Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma. Kuzma had 25 on 9 of 18 shooting, no assists, no steals, and only two rebounds. Did have two blocks. Poole shot 7 of 18, 0 from 6 from 3, 18 points, 5 assists, 4 turnovers. What was your impression of those two in game one?
And I think it wasn't a great debut for Jordan Poole. I don't think it was a great game necessarily for Kyle Kuzma. I know we look at the 25-point output that he had, but I feel like, you know, just even listening to that, looking at that, that's a little surprising with how the game went. I didn't feel like he had a very good game. And a lot of that is probably because he didn't have a single assist. He didn't do the other things that you need to do alongside the scoring. Like, we know that he's going to score. We've mentioned this all offseason that he and Jordan Poole are going to get their buckets. They're going to get their shot attempts. But if they actually want to win games this year, they're going to have to also do the other things. You know, 0 assists, 2 rebounds. Kyle Kuzma's playing the power forward position next to Gafford, who's not a good rebounder, next to Gallinari, who should not be, you know, one of our leading rebounders off the bench. So Kyle Kuzma and Denny are got the two that really have to pick up the slack from the rebounding perspective. And he's putting up 2 rebounds in a game. that's not going to get it done. That's partly, you know, one of the reasons why they're giving up 143 points. They were terrible on the defensive glass today. And so Kyle Kuzma is going to have to pick up that slack, in more areas than just scoring. Cause I feel like even with his 25 point output tonight, it wasn't great. And moving over to Jordan Poole, we've mentioned this all offseason as well. He's going to have the nights where he looks like the leading scorer in the NBA, like he's one of the best players in the league. And then he's going to have nights like tonight where, wow, he doesn't look that good. He's really struggling out there. He shouldn't be taking as many shots as he's taking. And it's just going to be the tale of two games for Jordan Poole like that all season. 0-for-6 from three. I'd like to think that he's going to figure it out from there, from deep, and he'll have much better nights from deep than he had tonight, but he didn't have it tonight. And he's exciting to watch. He had a few rim runs that were really exciting. He attacked the rim and had some acrobatic finishes, and he's an exciting player, but efficiency wise, it wasn't his best performance tonight, and there's going to be better nights than there were tonight for both of those guys.
I was underwhelmed with the overall performance from both of them. I feel like it's kind of hard not to be given what we watched. And if you just look at the box score, I feel like your takeaway would be like, oh, probably was just a average night for them at best. But watching the game, I felt like I didn't even feel Jordan Poole's presence at all. And I think that was a bit disappointing. And I felt like I was looking for him to stand out, and I felt like he just kind of blended in a lot of the night. And that's not really what I expected for somebody with a game like him. I feel like he's just known for having like flair and pizzazz to his game. And besides a drive here or a drive there where he had a nice finish at the rim, I felt like overall, I didn't really notice him unless I was going out of my way to really focus on what Jordan Poole was doing. And I can't say the same about Kyle Kuzma. I definitely noticed him, but I felt like he wasn't doing some of the playmaking stuff that we saw him doing last year, where he was getting those 4, 5, 6 assists a night. Again, it's just game one. So, you know, these players are finding their rhythms, and you don't want to say what's going on, you know, with Kyle Kuzma. He didn't get any assists. It's one game. But Kuzma was attacking downhill, which I liked. He was being aggressive towards the rim, and he obviously had 25 points on, 18 shots. So that's efficient. And I thought he, you know, knocked down his free throws, did a good job with that. I would like to see him be more impactful on the defensive end, but I'm hoping that will come. But I think the rebounding point you made is they need him to be a bigger factor on the boards. He just has to be. You're 6'9", 6'10". You got to be more of a factor on the boards. You got to help Gafford in that regard, help whatever other big man he's in the game with at the time. The team is just going to be, if Kuzma and Gafford don't step up rebounding wise, the team is just going to get obliterated every single night on the boards. Those two have to be better. Gafford has to be a better, more disciplined defender to keep him in position to get rebounds. It has to happen if the team is going to be competitive. Because not to be pessimistic, but just to be realistic, if this is what happens against the Pacers, what's going to happen against the better teams in the conference? The Celtics, the Bucks, the Cavs, the Knicks, et cetera. Like, those teams have big dudes. Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, your Tatum, Porzingis, Randall, Mitchell Robinson, like, et cetera. Right? Like, these are big guys. Giannis and Brooke Lopez. I mean, who on the Wizards is going to stop those guys on the boards? I just feel like if those two don't make a concerted effort, especially, I think Gafford is what he is, but I think Kuzma can do better. Like, I think Gafford is just an undisciplined defender, so it's just gonna be what it's gonna be. But I think Kuzma has the wherewithal to be like, okay, I'm gonna focus on being an aggressive rebounder. Maybe I can get my 8 to 10 rebounds a game and help in that regard. If he doesn't do that, the team's gonna be bad at rebounding regardless. But if he doesn't do it, they're gonna be god awful, I guess is my point. And they need something to help kind of close that gap to be at least more respectable in certain regards. So while I think Kuzma and Poole were underwhelming tonight, it's game one. I think everyone is obviously finding their footing. You have a bunch of new faces playing together for a lot of them, a new coach, maybe a new system. Things take time, but I do think that the expectations should be set for our fan base going forward. Not that anyone was expecting them to be great, but I would really take this game and say, hey, the flaws that we saw in the team this game are going to be the flaws that we're going to see going forward. And my hope is that some of these things can be cleaned up a little bit to make the team more competitive. But I think the result of being competitive for maybe half the game and then kind of getting blown out or letting go of the rope towards the third quarter slash fourth quarter, early fourth quarter, I think that's just kind of going to be the Wizards experience this year.
Yeah, I think the mixture that the Wizards got to go with, they're gonna have to find the right crew that can put up 125 points a game and give up just a little less than that. Like, you can't give up 143 points in a game and win, that's clear. And they're not going to be a good defensive unit, but can they find the unit that can let them give up a little less than 120 points in a game and give you an opportunity to win? That's all that I think they can ask for, given the liabilities they really do have defensively out there. So there's going to be better nights than they have tonight, that's clear. But this is what it's going to be a lot of the season. And I hope they can figure it out defensively, because it's going to be tough to watch giving up 143 points a night. I can get behind a young team playing with a bunch of young players, but I can't get behind giving up 143 points and not fully getting the young guys a ton of experience. So they need to do one or the other for me.
Chase, do you have any more positive takeaways from this? I'm just phrasing that because I know that some of us, Wizards content creators, can get accused of being negative sometimes, when I think a lot of us are just being realistic about what we're seeing and trying to give an honest perspective of where things are going. And I find myself, I feel like I don't want to sound like I'm upset, because I'm really not. Like, this is what I expected to see this year, so I'm not upset about it, but I don't want people to think we're just here trying to be negative. So amongst kind of a upsetting loss in terms of no one wants to watch their team lose by 20, is there any positive takeaways that you felt like, hey, like, I did enjoy this aspect of this player's performance, or something like that that comes to mind?
Yeah, I will say I think we got better, at least offensively, better point guard play out of Tyus Jones than we have seen all preseason. And with respect to Monte Morris, I don't think we saw much point guard play like we saw tonight from him. So I was really happy, especially with the first half we saw from Tyus Jones. Offensively, he provided a scoring punch in that first half that I know that he's done it in with the Grizzlies, but he hasn't really gotten an opportunity to show it as a starter, and I was impressed with him from that standpoint. I think that was the best game that he's, obviously just a couple preseason games he's gotten an opportunity to play, but really I was very impressed with what I saw out of him early on in this game. And in the small amount of time we saw out of Bilal Coulibaly, I was very, very excited about. He only shot, one for three. He hit his only 3-point attempt, which that's all you can ask for. He got a nice shooter's bounce to go in for him, which was nice. But defensively in the small, 23 minutes he got tonight, I think he was clearly one of the best defenders on the floor at, 19 years old. Three block shots, a couple of them looked very effortless. His NBA athleticism is clear as day. He is clearly immediately one of the best athletes on the floor each night, night in, night out. He's going to be one of the best athletes on the floor. So, the more time we can get for him, the more excited I'm going to be moving forward. I think we have ourselves a gem. And you see 3 points, three assists, four rebounds. It's not a super exciting stat line for him, but I think if you look past the box score, you have a lot to be excited about tonight with what you saw out of Bilal. So if we're going to be positive, which I, you know, it's hard to do in a 23 point loss, giving up 143 points, of course, but my positive takeaway is our rookie looks good. Our point guard is hopefully better than we thought he might be. And hopefully you can work with those things moving forward.
I agree. Those would be the positives that come to mind. I know I mentioned kind of the same Tyus thing you did, but he stood out to me, especially in the first half, as a positive where I noticed he was being more aggressive, which was my criticism on our last podcast of kind of the preseason performance. And again, it was preseason, so you just don't know what to make of it because players don't go that hard. I was reading something about how, I forget which veteran it was saying that, or it's like a former player was saying that veteran players just don't go hard in the preseason. So you can't judge most veteran players in the league because they just don't give even like 70 or 80%. A lot of them are kind of just going through the motions because they have to play these preseason games, but most of them don't enjoy them because it's preseason. So sometimes I feel like it's like, well, you know, you're kind of giving this analysis of a preseason game, but you just never know how hard a player is going. So not saying Tyus Jones wasn't trying, but I definitely felt like once the real lights came on, we saw a bit of a different aggression level, and I was happy with that. And Monte just put no pressure on the rim. So not saying Tyus is like Ja Morant out there in terms of pressuring the rim, but I mean, it definitely was an upgrade in terms of that aspect of the point guard position. It was an upgrade compared to last year. So I'm hoping to see that trend kind of continue forward for Tyus. And obviously Bilal is exciting. I just hope he gets more minutes. I thought Denny, like I mentioned, Denny showed some good things. And I think that Denny, you know, watching Denny, it really makes me wonder how he would look on a team where everyone else could shoot and he could just kind of do the intangible things. Like if he was on like the Warriors or something like that, and he was just kind of the glue guy, but everyone else could space the floor, I feel like his skill set would be more appreciated on the Wizards. I feel like it's almost like some of the things that he does, his lack of shooting kind of just is a glaring weakness. If he was on a different roster construction, maybe it wouldn't be. That's probably a conversation for a different day. But when I watch him play, I think, man, he's good at a lot of different things, but he's not great at anything. And because his shooting is the biggest deficiency, I feel like the other things aren't as appreciated on this specific roster, if that makes sense. But I just hope to see him, Bilal. I want to see them both just get an opportunity for their games to continue to grow.
Yeah, and it's, you know, 4-year extension. He's going to be here for a while, it seems, or he's going to be a trade asset. We'll see moving forward. But I think it's clear to see that Denny and Bilal are part of the future. So I'd love to see defensive lineups with both of them in, because I think if we're lacking defense, we're going to need to see both of those guys in together a lot. I think Denny's improved offensively enough to – where he can, you know, kind of have the ball in his hands a little more this season. So I think it's possible to maybe run some lineups, not necessarily with him being the point guard, but, you know, maybe Jordan Poole's in the game and he can run a little bit more point with Denny kind of running more point forward type role. So I think there's things that Coach Unseld can do to get more defense on the floor and not, you know, take away too much from the offensive end. But you know, he's going to have to play around with that kind of thing. I was happy with what I saw out of Tyus tonight, not defensively. It's clear this backcourt is going to be offensive-minded, and there's going to be nights where they outscore their duo, and there's going to be nights where the duo outscores them. And tonight was one of those nights where it wasn't going to be their night in that battle. So there's going to be nights where they win it. This was definitely not going to be one of them.
Chase, you mentioned the Denny extension. That happened a couple days after our last pod, and we actually had talked about a Denny extension a few pods ago, but that extension officially came through kind of right before that deadline. 4 years, $55 million for Denny. What were your impressions of that extension?
I actually really like the numbers, mostly from the Wizards' perspective, because I do think 4 years, $55 million is pretty much the going rate for a player of Denny's caliber. But with his upside that I think he does possess at just 22 years old, I think he has plenty of upside to outplay this contract, especially with the way that the contracts are looking from this offseason. Guys are getting bags, especially at positions that play defense that you know have a little bit of offensive ability. He's not a shooter. He's not a 3-and-D per se, but he's got a little bit of offensive ability with the ball in his hands. So I think for a player of his caliber, that's a really good contract from the Wizards' perspective. And we had talked about how we weren't really excited about how Denny might be reacting to things in a contract year. Well, we no longer have to worry about that, at least. So that's no longer at least a talking point or an excuse for Denny this offseason is that it's a contract year. He's taken care of financially now. He doesn't have to play for that. So I think he'll be playing more freely and hopefully less emotionally based on that. He doesn't have to worry about where his next check is coming from. We do know that he's a big part of our future, or at least going to be a trade asset down the line. So I like the extension. I'm not mad at it. Was I expecting it? No, I wasn't. But at those numbers, I'm definitely not upset about throwing a dart at a 22-year-old in your own building and seeing if he can stick for years to come and be part of, you know, what you're building, part of, you know, one of the essential building blocks.
I was very happy with the deal as well. I felt like when we talked about a potential Denny extension a few pods ago, and this was after Jared Vanderbilt had gotten 4 years, $48 million. I felt like that was the ballpark, like under $14 million per year was what I thought would have been a good deal for both sides. And it's almost when the deal is good for both sides, you almost feel like, well, maybe it's just not going to happen because the player wants a deal, you know, that's in their favor, and the team, you know, sometimes want a team friendly deal. So maybe that's just too good to be true. But when I saw it come in at 4 for $55 million, I thought that was the perfect deal for everybody. It's a deal where even if Denny doesn't get that much better, he's a 6'8" wing that can defend and do a few things with the ball in his hands. And for him to be getting basically the mid-level exception range with where the cap is going, I mean, that's just would be the going rate for that type of player regardless. So I felt like for the Wizards to get him at that number, I think it averages out to $13.75 million per year annually. And I believe it's a descending contract. So it starts higher and it'll get lower as the years go on. So I think in the final year, it was around 11 or 12 million or so. And that's just great work by the front office, because you're going to be paying him more in the years where you're going to have cap space. So it doesn't matter really what he's getting paid that all that much, because it's not like you have a bunch of other people on your books, and it's not like you're trying to be a free agent destination where you're trying to keep all this max cap space open. So you can afford to pay him $15 million or whatever it is the first year or two or whatever. And then as you're trying to maybe be more competitive, have maybe bigger salaries on your books, maybe in 2 or 3 years or whatever with this rebuild, you now have space to, because he's going to be making less. So it's just, to me, it's a deal that is good for Denny. It's probably more than he's worth at the moment. He can play his way into that contract if he gets better, and then he sets himself up for a bigger contract down the road. I just feel like it's a win-win for everybody. It's a type of deal that Denny can feel good about. It's a type of deal the team can feel good about. And I think that's the type of deal you want as a fan base in terms of managing an asset, right? In a rebuild, we've seen the way Tommy Shepard ran things, and I've been preaching being proactive instead of reactive for a long time. And that was my first thought that came to mind when I saw the extension was, this is a proactive move. This is a smart move to get him for a solid number where everyone can be happy, which means you're going to get a better version of him this season, which means he's not going to be playing with the thought of, hey, I got to play to get my numbers. So the next team that sees, you know, that might want me will see that I'm doing this or that. He can just play more freely. The team can just, it just gives everyone a clear head going forward in terms of Denny Avdija being on the Wizards. So I'm just really happy with it. I feel like there's no real downside to it. Do you see a downside? Is there any possible like bad outcome from this type of extension for Denny in your mind?
I don't think so, because I think at this number, he's an easily tradable asset at 22 years old. I think he's definitely shown to at least be a solid NBA player at this time. So I don't think you can look at this contract and think that he'll, you know, extremely underperform it at least. And he had a pretty solid night tonight. Not so much on the defensive end. He only had 21 minutes tonight himself. So would love to see him get some more time as well as Bilal. If we can find a way to get them both some more minutes, I'd love to find a way. But, you know, he had a pretty solid night tonight doing everything on the floor. 9 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. He was the leading rebounder for the team today because Gafford, with his foul trouble, only playing 21 minutes himself, was only able to get 5 boards. So he's going to have to be one of the best rebounders on the team this year. So given the role that he'll be playing this year for the team, that I think looking at his contract, as you mentioned, descending, the last year of his contract, so he'll only be making $11 million, you know, at what, age 26 in his prime. He'll probably be at the best that he'll ever be towards that point of his career, and we'll be able to hopefully at that point, 4 years down the line, be able to use him as one of our solid core pieces for just $11 million and have a lot of money to spend on really solid free agents at that time. So really, I love the contract. I don't think it'll bite them. You know, 4 years, $55 million is really, given how much money people were making this offseason, that's really not an expensive contract. So to me, good on the front office getting this done, and good on Denny, the longest tenured Wizard sticking around, one of the, I believe the last rookie that signed an extension with the Wizards was before the deadline was Bradley Beal. So I think that's who it was. It's
something like that. Yeah. I mean, that's insane. It's just, I knew it, what you were saying while you were saying it. But even when you finished your sentence, I kind of just was like, wow, like it's just weird to hear that again. Cause that just goes to show you how poor the draft record is.
Yeah. Not too many hits. So that's why I want to play Bilal Coulibaly as much as we can. Cause I think we actually have a hit. So hopefully we can find a way to get Denny more than 21 minutes, Bilal more than 23 minutes. Let's get these guys on the court together and defending, because we need defense. I think that's clear as day to see.
Yeah, needing defense is probably an understatement, but I know those are like probably the only words that come to mind, but it watching the team, you're just like, man, they need a lot on that end of the floor, man. But it'll be interesting to see. Let's kind of switch gears towards the next game. The home opener is on Saturday. They host Memphis. Memphis lost their first game tonight to the Pelicans. They've been hit pretty hard with a lot going on, obviously, over the offseason with all the Ja Morant stuff. He's not going to obviously be playing. Now Steven Adams is out for the season, and they're already down Brandon Clark, who's dealing with an Achilles injury. He's recovering from that, but he's at least out for probably half the season, so he won't be playing either. What are your thoughts about the matchup with Memphis, and do you think that there's potential for a win here for the Wizards?
I definitely think there's potential for a win. I just think given the matchup, it's hopefully a little bit better of a matchup for the Wizards than, you know, at least from the center perspective than they had tonight. Because I think you look at a guy like Xavier Tillman, who they're now going to be facing at center. It's a much better matchup, I think, than someone like Miles Turner, or even tonight, Jalen Smith posed a big problem for Gallinari off the bench, spreading the court a little bit. I think Tillman's less of a threat from the 3-point line than guys like Miles Turner. So hopefully a better matchup from that perspective. But as you mentioned, the Ja Morant stuff, Brandon Clark wasn't playing, isn't going to be playing in the game either. So they're a little shorthanded. So I think it's definitely a winnable game. This is one of those games that when you're looking at the schedule, you definitely want to have a win if you want a respectable season this year, because there's not many other games on this schedule that are definite wins. So, you know, these toss-up games, you got to win them if you want to have a decent year this year. So fingers crossed.
I'm with you. I feel like this is a game that if they're not at least much more competitive in the second half of this game against the Grizzlies compared to how they were against the Pacers, I think I'll be very disappointed. I don't think there's a lot of scoring punch on this Memphis team. They have Bane, they have Triple J, but outside of those two, they don't have a ton of scoring. And without Ja, no Clark, no Steven Adams. Not that those guys are scorers, but Steven Adams' ability to screen and Clark's ability to rim run were a large part of their success. And obviously what Ja does is, you know, he's an all-NBA player. So without those guys, I feel like this is the type of game where I want to see Poole and Kuzma really kind of flex their muscle a little bit and show what they can do in the home opener, and play hard on both sides of the ball and play the right way. And they're going to need a good performance from Gafford going up against Triple J. I'm sure that might not be the direct matchup, because I know Xavier Tillman is probably starting at center, but they're going to need Gafford to play a lot better than he did against Indiana. And so it'll be interesting, but I definitely think there's potential for a win. I'm going to pick Memphis to win, but I think it'll be a much more competitive game. But I just think that the overall talent level of Bane and Triple J is just better than what the Wizards have. So I think I will lean towards the talent in terms of picking a winner. But I do expect a much more competitive game.
Yeah, absolutely. I sure hope so. If we're giving up 143 points to the Memphis Grizzlies, it's going to be a very long year. And I mean, I think it's going to be a very long year either way, but it's going to be an even longer year than I think any of us expected. I think we expected a competitive team this year. And after one game, I'm not disregarding all of that, but I do think we expected it to at least be a competitive bunch this year, whether they were winning a bunch of games or not. So to be giving up 143 points on defense in the first game of the year, it's definitely a little concerning, but let's hope that they figure it out, you know, against a better matchup like the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think we thought they'd be competitive on some level, but I feel like I feel like that was, at least for me, a lot of that was a little bit of off-season optimism. But I think once I actually saw them lace them up during the preseason, I my expectations changed a little bit, because just seeing it, we talked about the center position all summer, you and I did on this podcast, but how we were worried about it, how, you know, what were they going to do? And to see it live and see Gallinari playing center, or Gill playing center, or Gibson playing center, I was like, oh my God, this is just, I knew it would be bad, but actually watching it is another story, you know? And it's not just all about the center position, but that's just such a key part of defense, you know, is the center. And so when you're having to play guys who are either not NBA quality centers or players that have no business playing center, in Gallinari's case, they're just setting yourself up for the defense to be incompetent, right? So I'm really hoping that there's some type of plan in place to be better. I don't know what that would exactly be, but I'm just hoping that the team can be more competitive, and so that these games are... I found myself really enjoying the first half. Like, I was really having fun watching, even though I felt like they weren't going to win the game. I was like, oh, like, this is fun, right? But the second half was just like, oh boy, like, this is no longer enjoyable. So I'm hoping that it's not a sign of what to expect all season, but I kind of feel like it is, to be honest with you, Jace.
I don't disagree with you there, Ryan, but the good news is basketball's back. Wizards basketball's back, whether we stink or not. I mean, they've stunk our whole life. What's any different? It's back. I'm just happy that I have something to do on my Wednesday nights again.
Absolutely. I'm excited to have the Wizards back. I definitely enjoy watching the game, and I enjoyed doing our first instant reaction pod, post-game pod here. So this has been a lot of fun. But I definitely hope that the Wizards have more competitive basketball in store for us. You know, I think it really also is, I think if Kuzma and Poole both had like good games, we could be like, oh, like that was at least fun to watch our guys kind of go off. But I didn't even notice Poole throughout the game, to be honest. Like, I felt like he just blended in, and Kuzma, you know, he had an all right game, but nothing special. So at a minimum, I just want to see some fun basketball from the two best players on the team.
There's going to be much better nights ahead for Jordan Poole, much more exciting nights, and I'm definitely excited for those. He showed a little bit of his bag tonight. It definitely wasn't the best night from him, and Kuzma, 25 points, looks nice on his stat sheet, but definitely didn't have the impact he would have liked to have. So better nights ahead for both of them for sure, and they're going to need them. There's going to be nights where both of them show up and they win those games, but tonight – I think we could definitely say only Kuzma really showed up offensively, and he didn't bring much else. So we're going to need a little bit more from each of those guys if they want to be competitive this year for sure.
Well, Chase, I think we can wrap it up there. This is the first of many post-game pods. Get some instant reactions from the Wizards group chat. I'm excited for the game on Saturday against the Grizzlies. We'll see what the team has in store for us. Hopefully we get bounce back games from Poole, an even better game from Kuzma, and hopefully we get some better center play from Gafford and the rest of the bunch. But everyone that tuned into this, I hope that you enjoyed our first post game reaction pod. And if there's anything that you would like us to touch on more or anything like that, please let us know. We're here to give you guys what you want. So please, you know, feel free to tap in with Chase on Twitter. Chase, what's your handle again, sir?
@ChaseCarroll_.
And I'm @RyanBoliver, and we'll catch y'all on the next one.